This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Johnny Dutch is a man with two very big and very different dreams, and he's determined to chase them both. Johnny is a world-class track athlete with his sights set on the 2020 Olympics. He's also a filmmaker who creates blood-spattered zombie films and wants to see his work up on the silver screen. In the new documentary Run of the Picture, the camera follows Johnny as he goes through the many ups and downs of splitting his life between his athletic and artistic pursuits. That documentary film screens publicly for the first time later this month. Johnny Dutch joins me in the studio now. Welcome to you, Johnny. Good to have you here.
Hey, good to have me. I mean, I'm glad to be here. I'm so excited.
It's good to be here. And Evan Kidd is the independent filmmaker from Raleigh who captured Johnny's story. Evan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Frank.
I don't know if this is about Johnny or about your film. Let's make it about your film for a minute and talk about how you first found out about Johnny.
Yeah, so Johnny and I, we met back in 2014. I just graduated film school, and I was looking for a project. I was feeling very, you know, free, and I didn't have anything going on. And so I read an article in the News and Observer about this guy who was an Olympic athlete in training. He was trying to go for the Olympics, and he was also making zombie films. And I know it's hard to be a filmmaker. I do it myself. And I thought, okay, there's definitely a story here. So I sent him a message on Twitter, and we got a coffee, and the rest is history.
Johnny, yeah. Well, tell me a little bit more about that history, because here you are a filmmaker. A filmmaker comes to you, says, I'm interested in both, but also you're an athlete. What do you make of the fact that Evan is interested in doing a film?
Yeah, so at the time, I had just won the U.S. championship, and the News and Observer had did an article right after, and then maybe a week or two after, Evan contacted me, and he was like, let's meet up at Starbucks. And he was like, I have an idea. And so he was like, I want to follow you until 2016. I was like, sure, I think that would be pretty dope. He was like, you know, are the cameras going to be in the way? And I told him, not at all, because I'm so used to being around the cameras. Right. So it just worked out perfectly.
So talk about your athletic career and your event, what you specialize in.
And so my specialty in track and field are the 400 hurdles. That's my specialty. I say I'm a hurdler because it's a whole different breed, a degree of difficulty. But it's very challenging, but a lot of people don't like to do it. But that's probably why I like to do it, because no one else wants to do it.
Well, enough people to make it a very, very competitive sport, and one that you are considered world class and competing to be now in the 2020. We'll talk about your decision to go forward again. Now let's talk about your interest in filmmaking, particularly, at least early on, zombie films, right?
Yeah. Well, I know my favorite show is The Walking Dead. You know, I think he's on the 10th, 11th season, so it's almost, I think,
it's
you
been
know,
a while.
Yeah, it's been almost a decade, yeah. So I think they'll be off air after the next season, unfortunately, so I'm kind of devastated, but that is my favorite
well, no, you gotta, show. You're just going to film. You are the next.
Right,
film.
Yeah.
You are the replacement.
That's all.
Yeah.
You know, if they need to have a casting call, I'm down. But yeah, so that inspired zombies. But I've always loved zombies ever since like 28 Days Later, a very scary movie back in the early 2000s. And that really, that's what started my love for zombies. So I just loved the whole zombie craze.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the film that's about you. And we'll get a taste of that film that Evan has produced right here.
There's something telling me to be a major film director, you know. It would feel that much more special because of the journey.
It'll be 2016 in a few days, and at this point, it's do or die. You know, I've been working hard since 2012. It'll be 4 years next summer since the last Olympic trials.
Yeah. Oh, I got bubble gut.
Right now, it's really just staying healthy. 2008 when I tried out for Olympics, 2012 when I tried out for Olympics. Mentally, I wasn't there yet. There was pressure, but I made it hard for myself. I think I'm really close at this point, and if I give up, I'll live in regret the rest of my life.
That's Johnny Dutch in the documentary Run of the Picture. He is a star athlete and a filmmaker himself. Also with me is filmmaker Evan Kidd, who documented Johnny's story. Run of the Picture screens free at the Runology in downtown Raleigh, and that's on May 30th, and we've got all the information. So, Evan, talk about how you decided to focus this. A lot of it really does focus on the athletic side.
Right.
You had a lot to choose from. How did you make that decision?
It was hard. We had about 4 years of footage. And so going through 4 years of footage, you really see how you've grown as a filmmaker. So when I started, I was fresh out of film school, and I just, you know, it was me and a little microphone and a like $300 camera, and that was it. And then, you know, I got new gear and I learned and I got better. And it was weird editing because, you know, you're looking at stuff you shot as a much, you know, younger version of yourself, and you're like, wow, I've changed a lot. And you're like, oh man, I wish I had more of that later footage because it was better. Right. But you know, you get a vast breadth of time, and it's a journey. And so I think that's sort of the beauty of, you know, being able to do a project this long, is that you get to see not only your own change as a filmmaker, but the change in Johnny. And so, you know, he's a very different person than when we started. And so I think that's just the beauty of that long form format.
The beauty, but it could also be the challenge.
Yeah.
Because, right, I mean, you've got, are we focusing on an athlete who's going to try to make it to the Olympics? That's a story in and of itself. Right. There's the filmmaker. Does that present itself as some kind of a distraction in that life, or is that the centerpiece? I mean, that a lot of choices you had to make.
Yeah, there's a major duality to it, and I think just me as an observer and knowing what I know as a filmmaker, I just think to myself, I couldn't do that. And so I see just this really like immense passion from Johnny, and I think it gave me a lot of inspiration because, you know, at the time when I was making the film, there were some doubts and I wasn't sure if I'd be able to go for 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I just see him crushing it and doing races and then coming back and making a zombie film in like 3 days. And I'm like, man, if Johnny can do it, we can do it. We've got it.
Anybody who watches this film and really others about athletes, if you're at your level, Johnny, understands the amount of dedication it takes and concentration and focus. And you're able to live in both of these worlds. But talk about the athletic side of you. First, when did you first, you know, feel this commitment and this passion for track in general and the hurdles in particular?
Well, I've been around track and field since I was a boy. My sister was a state championship at Broughton High School. So watching her, that kind of motivated me. And so, yeah, I've been around it for a long time. And I remember in 1996 watching Michael Johnson cross the line and win the gold medal in the 400 and 200 meters in his gold shoes. I remember we had a floor model TV and I was laying on the floor and looking at it. And I was like, that seems interesting. but once I was around 10 when I got serious and I got really competitive. So since then, I guess it's been like 2 decades I've been in the sport and I've always been very focused, sometimes a little too focused, mm-hmm. you know, but through the process, I've learned how to balance between life.
What does that mean, too focused? What got left out of the picture?
I think in anything, you can overwhelm yourself and put too much pressure on yourself sometimes. And I think I've done that. You have a goal and sometimes you're just like, this is all I want. But I think a lot of the times you have to put things into perspective and realize it's a journey. And, you know, maybe it's not meant for me to be a gold medalist. And then maybe it is. I just have to accept what comes with it.
Yeah, well, and your coaches have seen this along the way, too. Not only your dedication, but also the fact that you're living in both of these worlds. We've got a clip from your film here, Evan. This is George Williams, who is Johnny's coach, talking about watching Johnny sort of reside in these two worlds.
Johnny wants to be a filmmaker. He might want to do what you guys are doing. He wanted to make his own movie. We're still working on his race strategy. If you win an Olympic medal, you can win some money to help you with your filmmaking. But right now, it's no money out there. It's his choice. How do he want to separate it?
That's professional track athlete Johnny Dutch's coach, George Williams, speaking in the clip from the documentary Run of the Picture. And I'm here with Johnny and Evan Kidd, the creator of the documentary Run of the Picture, which screens at Runology in downtown Raleigh on May 30th. So talk more about this as you go through. You're actually developing a relationship with a guy, right?
And
you're making a film. Does that change the way, did you feel how that has changed just the nature of this film later on in the project?
Absolutely. I know, as a just, you know, fact of the matter, getting to know someone over 5 years is, you know, a great amount of time. I think your producer said when we did the pre-interview, she was like, it's about the time you would date someone in a lot of relationships. And it's like, you know, you get to know someone real well and you know, like what they like and what they don't. And kind of like when we started, it was just me filming everything. And it was just sort of spray and pray and hope that something stuck. And I didn't really have as much focus the last year or two of the documentary. I think that's really when we hit our stride because we both were comfortable with each other. I knew when it would be a good time to film. And, like, you know, I knew other times, like, you know, in 2016, we were at the Olympic trials and, you know, there were moments where I knew he was focused and we were in Eugene, Oregon. We were both away from home and there was just a lot of pressure in the air. And I knew sometimes that was not the moment to just push a camera in his face and ask a question. Like, sometimes there's something to be said about, you know, hanging back a little bit and just seeing what unfolds. More,
yeah, but talk,
as an
I want you to yeah. talk more about that yeah, professionally yeah, yeah. because, you see, as the wide world of sports guy
yeah.
who parachutes into the event,
yeah.
right? They're coming from New York and there they are at Nagano mm-hmm. or wherever they are. That's exactly what they do because they don't
right.
know him, they don't care, and they know what the executive producer wants.
Right.
So in your face, this is a horrible moment. The tears are streaming. Tell me how you feel, Johnny.
Yeah.
Now, day one, that's exactly what you would have done. But by right. year three...
Yeah.
Right?
By year three, I just knew that's not what he needed. And yeah. like that was the biggest thing because I knew there was a greater, you know, picture, pardon the pun, run of the picture, and, you know, in plan. And I knew that I wanted to have a healthy relationship with him. It was never about making a documentary to exploit Johnny and like whatever mm-hmm. he's going through. It was like I looked at this guy as my friend. And, you know, I didn't want to take advantage of a friend and, like, you know, especially in those vulnerable moments because it's asking a lot to be vulnerable in front of a camera like that.
But, Johnny, what about you? Because you're growing more trusting, I would think, over time. Did you find that you were more likely to talk and say things that maybe you wouldn't in the first couple of weeks?
Yeah, I didn't have a problem at all. He just has this great demeanor about him where I just feel he's very genuine, and I got that from when I first met him. He just had a good spirit about him. So right off the bat, I had trust for him. I had trust for my brother, you know, so it was all good.
Thank
like,
you.
And if he did want to be in my personal space when I was going through those low moments, I understood and I didn't mind because I yeah. knew the end result, it would pay off.
Yeah. Well, there yeah. was a conversation when we were in the attic. I remember you were looking at your medals and you were talking about, you know, I have the second place medal, but no world championship medals. And, you know, we just had a conversation and it just felt right. And I remember you opened up about your family dynamic and things like that and that were more personal. And it wasn't me forcing it. We just had a natural conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just like because we had that foundation to stand upon.
And that is an important part of your story, your family dynamic, the deep devotion you have to your mother, your father, out of the picture for some of the time and now back in the picture, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's back.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, yeah, you know, growing up, unfortunately, I did deal with moments of loneliness. It's crazy because a lot of my teammates growing up had their fathers in their lives and they were at the practices and competitions. And I always wanted that. And so that kind of filtered into my life and it affected the way I thought, my thought process and everything. But and because of that, you know, growing up, I was kind of bitter and I had a chip on my shoulder. And I think that kind of helped me back when it came to track. Sometimes you have to let things go just to run fast. And so now that I'm older, we've developed a relationship and things are on the up and up.
Yeah, you've got a film coming out. I'm going to talk to you about that. But let's talk again about your athletic career because you didn't do well at the Olympic trials in 2016. That was that rough moment. You had to be part of that. Tell me how you felt about it because the fact is that could have been it for you. You could have decided to hang him up. But
yeah.
you're coming back and you're trying out again for the 2020 Olympics, right?
2020 again. Yeah, I actually tried out in 2008 as well. So 2020 will be my fourth time. I guess 2008 is light years away, so I guess they don't remember that. But yeah, that's why it was so important by 2016 because it was 8-year process.
Yeah.
And I thought I had it. And that's the thing about track and field. Everything is just a second matters that much, you know, and that could have changed my whole world. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. So
yeah, that's the killer to me is that in any endeavor, the older mm-hmm. you get, the more experience you get. But some of us who say talk for a living can mm-hmm. do it forever, and getting older doesn't really hurt quite mm-hmm. the curve isn't quite as much. But in athletics, mm-hmm. you just don't have time to get smart,
yeah.
you know. And mm-hmm. so here you are in 2020. How do you feel about that? How much of this is, you know, just our raw athleticism, and how much do you think your experience is going to help you sort of make up for the fact that you're a little bit older now?
Well, I know specifically in my event, the past gold medalists have all been from 28 to like 34 years old. Felix Sanchez, which coached me in 2017. I moved down to the DR, and he taught me a lot as far as my mentality going into competitions. But he was a gold medalist twice, and that was in a 10-year gap. And so people like that have motivated me. But it is all about experience, and I think the longer you are in our event, you get better. And so I would say now I'm more seasoned, a seasoned hurdler. So it'll pay off.
And a seasoned filmmaker. Talk about your latest, because you're moving away from zombie films.
Yeah. The zombie craze is kind of dying down. I will always love zombies, but I feel like you have to create things that people do want to see. Of course, you got to create things you love, but it's all about the demand. What are people liking right now? And so my base is horror. I've always loved scary movies, but I figured to challenge myself as a filmmaker and do something different. And so that's where I did my short film, The Boy and Boris, based off a lonely boy. And he meets a monster, and they become friends.
And you're heading to Atlanta later today.
Right, for that.
Yeah, that's great. And again, and this may have something to do with your father coming back into your life. I don't know. But it's interesting. And then, Evan, you were there when Johnny's father does come back. I mean, I wonder what it's like for you to capture that, some of that on film.
It was an honor, just because they both, you know, trusted me and had heard of me, obviously, up to that point his father had. And so, you know, it wasn't really me going in there asking a history of their dynamic. It was just saying, I see you here today on this film set, you know, moving boxes, helping with props, and just seeing your son shine. And like, that was really cool. And so I think it was kind of just, you know, for a filmmaker, just again, kind of being able to look at that dynamic and show it for what it is. Yeah.
Evan Kidd, the creator of the documentary Run of the Picture, that follows Johnny Dutch's story. Johnny Dutch is a track athlete and a filmmaker as well. The film screens for free at Runology in downtown Raleigh on May 30th, and you can find out more about the show and the film at our website, stateofthings.org. Evan, Johnny, thank you so much for being on the program.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to The State of Things. Again, the website, stateofthings.org. You can sign up for our newsletter, get a daily preview of our lineup. State of Things is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.